Recording is on.
Great. Welcome, everyone, to today's meeting of the Credentials Community Group for Tuesday, April 13th, 2020. Today, we are going to kick off the linked data signatures work. That's some new work being proposed. We're going to have a check-in with the CCG 101. There's been a request for a developer-to-developer introduction, so wanted to bring that to the community. And we also have several issues, proposed work items that we're going to discuss today. The verifiable condition, which is a new DID verification method type that Gimli Jack is going to talk about, and then the items that have come up regarding the VC HTTP API, API, and traceability API. So that's our agenda for today. Okay, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be a member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Anyone can join the CCG. You do not need to have a paid W3C membership to participate. However, you will create a W3C account in the process of signing the contributor license agreement. If you are not already a member and are submitting something, submitting work, you will need to join at this link. Great. Okay. So call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the meetings link. Also, apologies if you hear some snoring. That's one of my dogs. They get very excited by these calls. Okay, so we use IRC to cue speakers during the call and to take minutes. And so if you have a question and you want to say something, you can put Q plus in the IRC. If you are not in the IRC, if you're just in Jitsi chat, you can also comment there. And I will also put the IRC link. You can either join it via your IRC client or you can just use the web. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. And if you want to add yourself to the queue, type Q plus. And optionally, you can type Q plus and then type a few words about the comment that you want to make. When you're called on, if you're not on IRC and you want to make a comment, you're just audio, just say you want to be on the queue and and I will put you on the queue. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, we've already done scribe selection. Thank you, Pete. And now we can move on to introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new on the call that would like to introduce themselves? And I'd like to extend that invitation to folks from the CCG 101 group who might be joining this call one of the first times. You can just speak up if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hey, Heather, it's Kimberly. I am Director of Business Development at Randa Solutions, and I'm part of the 101 group. And you're going to get to hear a little bit more about me and why I'm here in a little bit, so I'll keep it to that.
Great. Thanks, Kimberly. It's been great having you in the 101 group. I see P. Champin. Is that Peter? Peter Champin.
Pierre-Antoine. But I often go by PA, so that's okay. Yes. I've been involved in various groups, although not verifiable credentials. I was a co-editor of the JSON-LD 1.1 spec. So I'm interested in this kind of work. I've been invited here because I've been also involved in the proposed charter of the linked data signature working group with Yvonne Herman. And so I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. Also, sorry, I'm an associate professor at University of Lyon, but currently in a sabbatical and a W3C fellow. So I'm here with a double hat as a member and, well, participant and team member.
Wonderful. Welcome. Jack, I see you're on the queue as well. You're up next.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Jack Tanner. I'm a lead developer at Gimli, and I'm going to be, I propose the verifiable conditions, new verification method type for DIDs that we're going to discuss today. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Wonderful. And I see that Casper is also on the queue. Casper, over to you.
Thank you. Yes, Kaspar Rulofs. I'm a founder of Gimli, working with Jack Tanner as our lead dev, working on these on the verifiable condition type. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. And Robert, you're on the queue as well.
Hello. My name is Robert Long. I formerly worked at Mozilla on their 3D social product hubs. I've also been a member of the Kronos 3D Formats working group working on GLTF. And now I'm working on a brand new organization called the Open Metaverse Interoperability Group. And we're very interested in all the work you're doing here.
Great. It's great to have all of you here. And if you are planning to contribute any substantial questions or substantial contributions, I hope you will officially join and sign the IPR. Casper, you had a question, type Q plus. Did you want to be on the queue?
No, I was trying to help out Heather, who I think was trying to figure out how to get on the queue.
No, actually, Q question mark is the way I see how, who is on the queue so that, I know who to call on next. So, No, it's okay. You might see a few little shorthand commands, that we have, to help us run our meetings and run the minutes. And so, you will occasionally see me or any of the other chairs type Q question mark, and that will come back and show who's on the queue. And if you want to be added to the queue, you put Q plus. If you change your mind and you want to be removed from the queue, you can do Q minus. And so when I call in someone for the queue, I do this ACK, their name, and that helps us manage the queue. Are you guys able to hear me? Robert, are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, but I haven't heard a couple of the speakers so far.
Okay. We do sometimes have, there are sometimes some audio issues, and I don't know if, Manu.
Yeah, you could, the best thing to do is to switch browsers. Okay. So you might be using Firefox. Firefox tends to have issues, so try switching
to Chrome. I'll switch over to Chrome. Yep.
Yep.
Great. Do we have any reintroductions? Anyone who has had a new project or something new that they'd like to add themselves to the queue for reintroductions of folks who are in the community? All right, not seeing any takers. So next, let's go to announcements and reminders. And if I look at the announcements and reminders, we don't really have anything on this, but I know IIW is coming up. So Juan, do you want to say some words about that? Or is Kalia on here or anyone else wants to say something about IIW and remind us the details?
No, I'll just drop the link. I think we've got a crowded schedule, but I think most people here probably know what it is, and the rest can click the link.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. So next we're going to move on to progress on action items. So we have a couple things that we are going to discuss today. And first up, I want to thank Jack Tanner for being so patient because we did not meet last week. He proposed a new work item, item 188, verifiable condition, new DID verification methods. So, Jack, can I, pass this over to you and have you tell us about this?
Sure. So this is a new, type for verifiable, for the verification methods of a decentralized identity document. It proposes a new top-level type and then several subtypes to support more advanced verification methods. Current verification methods really support having one key, and to fulfill the verification method, you have to present a signature for that key. This new type allows for multi-sig, so multiple signatures, either done in a threshold, so you'd need like 6 out of 10 or 2 out of 3, or a weighted threshold where you need where each key has a certain weight and you must go above a threshold of those weights. It proposes a new way to do delegation. So to fulfill a verification method, you need to present a signature from a different DID, and that's provided using a fragment. And it also provides a way to show relationships between DID methods. So all of this allows more advanced and more secure and sophisticated ways of doing secure identities. That's a general intro. Interested to see what you guys, if you guys have any questions, and we're kind of interested in knowing what we need to do next to make this a thing. Lastly, sorry, I should say this verification method type exists to support several different decentralized public key infrastructures, DID methods. I think we've got 5 DID methods that we can see having this as a verification method type to support more advanced DIDs.
Hey everyone, this is Kim here. Heather's system crashed, so I am going to take over for her while she comes back. Let's see, let me just double check to make sure I'm not talking over her. Okay, yep. So, sorry, one sec. Okay. Okay, so we have a queue building up. Manu, you're up.
Yeah, so plus one to the work item. I think this is great. There were a number of things that I just commented on the work item. Some of it's just bike shedding, which is fine. Like, you know, we can get into the bike shedding part of it, you know, later. There seemed to be some aspect of more than simple programmability for the verifiable conditions. So, you know, for example, anything that supports kind of arbitrary logical constructs is concerning. I don't think the method does that yet, and I would really appreciate you clarifying whether or not, you know, it does. So the ands and the ors, you know, the concern I have is that they can be like chained together in arbitrary ways to create really complex effectively programs that run. So I'm wondering if there is an intent to do that, or where kind of that is. But a huge plus one to the work item. Like let's get it in there. I'm just highlighting some concerns. That's it.
Yeah. Thanks, Manu. So the design is intentionally recursive. So the DID method has one property verification method at the root level. Underneath that, you can have an array of verification methods. Each of those could be a key, or it could be of type verifiable condition. each verifiable condition has a property called verification method where it supplies its cryptographic material. Those can also be of type verifiable condition to allow like really arbitrary use cases. So I think that's the most complex about this thing. The and or threshold conditions by themselves can't really create too complex a logic, but perhaps if you use this recursively, it could be complex, but, I'm not sure what concern this could lead to in a tangible way, yet anyway. There was also consideration of a few other subtypes that were not included in this proposal, and you can see them in the prior work. Some more interesting subtypes where you might actually reference a piece of code that's executed that needs to be fulfilled, and then I think that would definitely be a security concern, and that's why that was not included in this proposal. Also, we didn't really have a very clear use case for that. So we have only included ones we have a clear use case for and are defined well enough that we think aren't going to present security concerns.
Okay, hey all, I'm back. Love a Jitsi crash in the middle of a call. Thanks, Kim. Manu, did you have a comment in response to that response, or should we move on with the queue?
No, let's go ahead and move on. I do have comments, but yeah, let's move on with the queue.
Okay, great. You can put yourself back on the queue if you want. Marcus, you're up next.
Yeah, I also wanted to say a plus one to the work item. I already had some opportunity in the last few weeks to hear Jack's description and rationale for this. I think it's really useful. There are some concrete deed methods that are interested in this or that could benefit from this. And I'm also generally interested in new and creative verification methods. I believe in the future there will be quite a bit more innovation on that side. And this one I think is generic and really applicable to a lot of different cases and will be very, very useful.
Great. Thanks, Marcus. Ryan, you're up next.
Hi. I'm also supportive of multisig issues and also uncertain about whether it should be outside of specific DID methods. So one question I have is this a signature scheme or is it a DID method? What exactly is the type of the thing? Also, just as a bit of history, we considered some of this very early back in, I guess, 2016, and we decided that we didn't know how to do it. So I'm very supportive of multisig. I think that many DID methods could support multisig within the DID method, and I'm wondering what the type of this thing is. Thank you.
So this will be, I guess, a piece of information on the DID document. It won't specify the raw cryptographic material, the public private keys, and how to, you know, verify the proofs. It will specify specific conditions, conditional logic of how to fulfill a verification method that's not just one key. Does that make it clearer?
I'm interpreting that as this is information that could be added to any DID document for any DID method.
It will be for the... So this will be implemented on the verification method array. And it can also be on the, what's the other property? The property that can reference the verification methods, the capacities.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. We've got Ori on the queue. Over to you.
Yeah, so I think the term you were looking for was verification relationships.
That's right.
Yeah.
Verification relationships.
Just a note, you know, not all DID methods expose the security parameters for their verifiable data registry in verification relationships in the DID document. So an example of a family of DID methods that doesn't do this is Scitree. They don't expose the authoritative keys for the DID document in the DID document itself. There are other DID methods out there that do expose authoritative keys in verification relationships in the DID document. This scheme, as I understand it, would apply to both cases. If you wanted to build a DID method on top of a verifiable data registry that was built on these constraint-based verifications, you could. And you could also build a verifiable credentials or other forms of proofing mechanisms that are anchored to a DID document that would rely on the various relationships in the DID document. So it's both like a building block that you could use to build DID methods that would use these features. It's also a building block you could use to build credentials or capabilities on top of these features, as I understand it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Just to extend that, for example, a DID with these properties with this type could be used, this new material could be used to verify that a VC, verifiable credential is signed by two keys of a DID. So this would allow machines to read and interpret and see if the verifiable credential matches that fulfillment. For example, it could also allow a DIDCOM Diffie-Hellman exchange to be set up using two keys, and that could enable kind of two-factor authentication use cases on top of the DID at the private key level, so multi-key. These are just some examples of how I think this could be used higher up in the SSI chain.
Marcus, over to you.
Just to agree with Ori that, like Ori said, right, DID methods, when they execute, update or create or deactivate operations, they may or may not use these verification relationships and verification methods in the DID document. So plus one to that. One other comment I wanted to make is that verification methods, strictly speaking, don't have to be based on cryptographic signatures, right? So in theory, there could be verification methods that are based on other things, on passwords or biometrics or whatever, and you have to be very, very careful when talking about some certain ideas for verification methods. But just in theory, verification method is a way of proving control over something, and it could be based on other things than signatures. And this one here is also interesting because it's agnostic to all of that, right? So this verification method combines other verification methods, and it does not matter what those other verification methods are. So I think that's also what makes this interesting.
Thanks, Marcus. Did we have any formal or strong objections to this work item? Unless it was Manu, because I crashed. I didn't hear me, so.
No objections.
Okay, great. Thank you. So it sounds like we're going to move forward with, formally getting, working on this work item. So, thank you, Jack, for coming. Thanks for proposing it and discussing with us at the meeting today. So what will happen is we'll move forward. The chairs will move forward with creating the repo and license. Do you already have work that, like a repo or something that we should transfer over, or we can also coordinate with this on the issue on GitHub.
We have the repo that we linked in the GitHub issue, but it's actually not clear to me what next steps will be and what I would need to do.
So I think
maybe we could take this out of the meeting, but
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's take it out of the meeting. We'll figure out whether we want to import your repo or create a new one and port over some stuff. So great. Thank you guys so much for coming today.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. Next up on the agenda is I think we can address the traceability API, a new work item proposal, along with the underlying concerns that led to the creation of this work item proposal. Ori, Mike, do you want to kick this off?
Sure. I can start. So, a number of companies who are here on these calls have been working on this work item called the traceability vocabulary, which is a data model for supply chain oriented verifiable credentials, and it's basically everything from schema.org to GS1 to specific ISO standards for mechanical and chemical properties, agriculture standards, et cetera. And as part of having that data model, we've then leveled up to basically test interoperability for those credentials across vendors. So we historically had been using the verifiable credentials HTTP API to do that, but there's been some problems in the way that that has been basically represented. The main problem is that it's not really exchanging credentials between parties. It's sort of using the transitive property of issuance and verification to hint at potential interoperability without actually demonstrating multiple chain, multiple hop interoperability. So in order to support that multiple chain, multiple hop flow, we need a new set of endpoints that are sort of, you know, sometimes described as holder endpoints. Sometimes people describe them as peer-to-peer interaction endpoints. There's a tremendous amount of specs in the space, none of which are really complete or usable. And so we've been working together with things like Postman and the VCHTTP API to try and tell a story like party one creates a credential and presents it to party two. Party two creates a credential and presents it along with the first credential that it received to party three. Those kinds of scenarios, you know, we need APIs for exchanging verifiable presentations where the intent is to store the credentials and then present them along in the chain as opposed to just verifying them. So this new work item is basically an opportunity to build interoperability tests around those kind of handoff use cases in a supply chain scenario. And it's sort of similar in some ways to the recent vaccination test suite, which I think is excellent, sort of shows you that like use case driven interoperability is far more compelling than generic open API interoperability from a storytelling perspective. However, we're intending to build 100% on the VCHTTP API and the VP request spec, and some aspects of the universal wallet, which are all CCG work items. We don't intend to break compatibility with them. We intend to demonstrate interoperability built on top of them with some additional features that may or may not be backported into those various other specifications if we can figure out a way to make it work. And if we can't, we won't be distracting those groups as we try. So that's kind of the pitch in a nutshell, but essentially we're trying to show an API for moving verifiable presentations associated with supply chain traceability across vendors working.
Great. Thanks, Ori, for that overview. I guess I want to bring something up that has kind of come up under the surface that really hasn't that I would like to see us address more out in the open. And that is, the obscurity around this, VCHTTP API and the fact that that was created for the SVIP cohort. And, I'm just not sure that like everyone in folks in the community that were not directly related to the, you know, in the SVIP or were part of the SVIP really have a full understanding of what that work item is. And so I'm just like, this is me coming from like, hey, we need to make technology that's understandable and usable, that is not so obscure and requires so many like jumps over hurdles to understand. You know, I think it's hard for us to understand what the next step is with things if we as a community don't necessarily have a very clear, good, solid understanding of the existing work, especially since it was kind of done, in like a select group of folks. I didn't know if you wanted to address that. Otherwise, I'll just go through the queue.
I think you should probably go to the queue. I expect Manu would also have comments.
Okay, great. Manu, over to you.
Yeah, I wanted to underscore and highlight what Heather just said. One of the things that happened, this new work item, the traceability API, I think is coming out of a very frustrating discussion on APR that, Ori raised. I think during the PR, there were multiple times that people in the PR requested that there be a call, that the work item was, you know, explained to people, described what the feature was, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the end result was what I see as a fork of the specification without discussion. And I don't think that's the right way to develop these types of features. I think the community is already doesn't have enough insight into the VC-HTTP API, and then to go and fork it and close it off to an even smaller cohort, I think is problematic. Now, I'm not saying anyone's, you know, I think people are just trying to do work and get stuff done. But I don't feel like there was a conversation about this new work item, happening at all. So, you know, at this point, I think there's a way to get to make everyone happy that's involved in this API work, but that requires us to get on calls and discuss things, not fork things and then go on work on them, you know, elsewhere. So I think we really should have calls where the CCG, the people that want to show up to them, show up, talk about their concerns, we talk through it, and we try to keep the VC-HTTP API, together. So that's my concern, is that, you know, these are not traceability APIs. If you look at the actual endpoints, they're cloning things in the VC-HTTP API. It is a fork. Forks, you either diverge over time or you have to merge back again. Both of them create an enormous amount of work for the community. So I would like us to have a couple of calls before adopting this work item so that we can sort through what I'm sure are a lot of different frustrations from various parties. That's it.
Thanks, Manu. I think you're up next, Ori.
Yeah, so I agree with everything Manu said regarding, essentially the nature of, work and the nature of forks. Forks are exactly how progress is made. So when you make changes to a specification, you fork it, you make those changes, and then you open a pull request to add them back. In this case, there has been some really long-running issues with the VC-HTTP API that we have been on, you know, many, many calls regarding it. So I think it has generally suffered from a lack of a cohesive vision, from the kind of transparency that we need it to have for it to be effective. Regular calls, regular pull requests being merged, more documentation, more contribution from other folks. And part of what's made that really hard for the VC-HTTP API is this, like, inability to tell an actual story about how it's used, like in any real way, in terms of interoperability. So the vaccination test suite is a great example of what you can do with that API without asking really anybody for, you know, input on it. And I think it's great because it's generic and you can tell any story you want with it. But there's some stories you just can't tell with the VC-HTTP API. And some of those stories have to do with specific operations that companies have been trying to work on together for a very long time. And I think you shouldn't look at forks as in any way combative or harmful to progress. Forks are the mechanism whereby progress is made. Literally, that's how open source works. You fork something, you make improvements to it. If those improvements are good, they get merged back in. If there's three or four ways of doing something, there's eventually consolidation towards like a number one thing. There's always a ranked order for these things. You can always see which one of them is doing the best. I think we should in no way be telling people not to fork things to improve them. That's totally the opposite of open contribution models. And I'm not suggesting that the traceability API and its Postman-oriented peer-to-peer exchanges are outside of the scope of the VCHTTP API. I've just been in months and months and months of calls where that has been essentially the consensus from the working group. And so it's very clear to me that these APIs are not, there is no real consensus on the kinds of things that the traceability folks are trying to do. And we need to be able to make progress independently. We're not saying, hey, like we want to copy everything you're doing and then break compatibility with you. We're saying there's some things that we've been trying to do together that we need to be able to make progress on. And if we end up solving that in a way that's useful, then please backport, you know, the parts of it that matter to you. And, you know, I'm certainly, as the number one contributor to the VCHTTP API, willing to do that if there's strong consensus for it. But I've also been on those calls and I've seen the lack of consensus, the lack of documentation, the lack of pull requests from code owners and contributors. And I believe very strongly that you need to be able to make progress in order to see whether or not something is valuable or not. And you can't make progress if you can't merge pull requests.
Okay, thanks so much, Ori. I'm looking at the queue, and this is going to be a very heated conversation. I'm looking at the time. I'm wondering, in order to allow us time to have this full discussion, we might take this as the sole topic for discussion next week. And possibly if there are questions or requests for work to be done in order to have a productive conversation, we can track that in this proposed work item thread on the GitHub. Are there any objections to that idea? Or wait, is next week IIW?
Yeah, and sorry to jump the queue, but I was actually going to mention at this when my turn came up in the queue that there, I don't really know the procedure, but there is a topic call. I don't know if it's technically a topic call. I don't know if it's technically a work item, but there is a call we could discuss later today. In just an hour or two with the traceability vocab folks already scheduled. I tried to email about this last week and got a little bogged down in my own confusion about what is or isn't a work item and what does or doesn't require full scribing.
Okay, so let me ask the folks, because this is clearly a very important thing. I feel like we could possibly wait a week to talk next week, but beyond that would not be useful. I understand and I hear and I respect and I want to appreciate Ori's need for speed to resolution. And I don't want to step August down in process, but I do kind of feel like, can we just give it a call to have a discussion and see what happens after that call? So folks, thoughts on, going ahead and meeting next week anyway, or scheduling a call out of band either this week or early next week? Meet next week anyway? Is anyone against, or especially anyone who has strong feelings about this, against to meeting about this to next week at our regular time? I'm not seeing any dissent. So I'm going to propose that, Kim, I don't know if you're up for moderating next week, but if so, if you're okay with that.
Yes, that sounds great. And definitely supportive of moving this out of today's call.
Great. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Ori. Thank you, Manu. The goal here is for us to collaborate and find a way through with all of our different needs. Or did you just add yourself to the queue? Or sorry.
Yeah, I'm supportive of taking time on calls to discuss issues. I'm also supportive of working in parallel, you know, immediately. So I think I'm happy to attend as many calls as folks want to organize around making progress. I attend a lot of calls. Totally willing to do that. I also think asynchronous work in GitHub is actually best.
Agreed. I think if we can do async work to leverage the time together, and from a chair perspective, I would like to have you guys all give it a shot at one call with the goal of some specific action items or way through, even if it's not fully resolved, but at least a way through. And I'm going to remove everyone from the queue, and we're going to move on. I'm just going to make the executive decision to do that. Or you can remove yourself from the queue. Right. Let's see. Okay. Kimberly, can I hand it over to you to, talk about the CCG 101 developer to developer introduction?
Sure. And I'm not entirely sure if I've captured what you're after. So we'll kind of do our thing and then you can jump in and sort of, corral us if need be. So hi, I'm Kimberly Linson and I'm part of the CCG 101. And, I just actually scribbled down some thoughts after having listened to the bulk of this meeting, because I thought it was maybe important to start with, why is there a CCG 101? And I think it's really because we want more people to be able to contribute. And I know that there is I think everybody recognizes what a steep learning curve there is in coming into CCG. And I think one of the things, so just to give you my story and why I'm here in 30 seconds or less, I am director of business development at Randa Solutions. We are doing an enormous amount with verifiable credentials and launching products for education, for teachers, in the healthcare space. We believe this is, and I actually personally feel very passionate that we are on the cusp of the wave. But my background is in education. You now have an English teacher in your midst. So you're going to get lots of questions about, well, why and how should we say that? And how is that going to make sense for me? And so one of the things that I will tell you about my journey is that I have, I think, a 101 level knowledge in a lot of these topics, right? I have very surface level. And I would actually, I know he's on the call, so I'll thank him. Juan's Medium tutorial, I printed it. I have a dog-eared copy that scribbled all over and was really my sort of start to this. But now I'm at this place where I need to understand the kinds of I need like the next level of information. And so we've in the 101 sort of talked about how we might be able to bridge a pathway. And I want to talk about that in just a second. But first I want to let you hear from another member who has a very different story than mine. George?
Hello. So I'm George Lund. I've introduced myself before, but I work for the UK Government Digital Service. So we're coming at it from a different set of user needs altogether, to do with doing user digital identity for access to government services. But I have a personal need to really properly understand this space. And as we're getting a new program of work going, I've got a bunch of product managers and a bunch of developers, and soon more technical architects that will want to really understand all the CCG things as well, whether they won't all need to participate in the CCG, but they'll all need access to the material and a really good intro to verifiable credentials and the rest of this technical space. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
Awesome. Thank you. So you have as many different pathways or entrances as you can imagine coming into CCG. And so once you arrive at the front door, what has to happen? And so we've identified a few things, but we need help with them. And the first thing is this pathway. What does this pathway look like and where does it need to go? Manu came and spoke to our group, about the verifiable trust standards. And for me, that was enormously enlightening and actually sort of built part of what I think this pathway will look like. But we need experts to sort of say, well, if I'm an expert in this topic and if I'm a CCG expert, then here's how I would craft a pathway of learning objectives for someone who's standing at the front door. We also think that we don't need to create new materials. We think, just like, Juan's tutorial and many other things that I've read about sort of primers and introductions, those are already out there. But we need to collect them and we need to put them together and make sure that we really have all of the key, pieces. And then we also really think that we need some kind of way to get under the hood, that we need some help figuring out how to actually like see what does it mean to build a verifiable credential. When Manu came and talked about verifiable trust standards, one of the questions that came out of that conversation was, okay, well, if I wanted to make a verifiable credential, what would be the very least that I would need of this huge menu of things that you've just shown us? So one of our asks for you all is, can we do that? Can we build a verifiable credential, a little tiny one, so that we can actually see what that looks like? That would be, I think, enormously helpful to then priming us to ask the next set of questions. So those are our sort of three asks. Help us with the pathway. Give us your best resources, the things that have been inspiring to you at any level, and help us with a hands-on learning module. What else, Heather?
That was a really great overview, Kimberly. Thank you. The only thing I would add is that, you know, we are a community and our work is built upon other people's work. And it's important, you know, it doesn't matter how smart or what your background is, that you still need some help to break the ice, to like know how to put it all together. And, Mike Prorock, who's in the 101 group, mentioned how he had someone who kind of helped him do a little bit of that, really understand some of that. And so it occurred to me as I was listening to the ask, you know, we've got so many great smart people who've like written the spec, who are on the bleeding edge of creating this tech. And so we don't want to burden you with documentation. We don't want to burden you with like having to, you know, create this. And so one of the things that we're trying to do in the CCG is learn it ourselves. And in the process of learning it, document it as well for other people so that we can build a pathway of making baby steps so that folks can be better educated about making decisions, about participating, about contributing code. And so the ask here really is to, you know, the senior members of the community that have been core of creating this technology to share some time with some of the CCG 101 folks who are interested. This would be out of band, separate, to be able to, you know, do like a pass the torch, or not even really pass the torch, just like do a orientation, like a developer to developer introduction. And so that's the kind of ask we have in the community today. Who of you would be willing and able to participate in something like this? And we're trying to make this as easy a lift for you by doing more of the heavy lifting and asking you guys, how can we leverage your knowledge and your expertise without asking you to do the heavy lifting? And so with that, I think I'll open it up to the queue. to the community for feedback. Unless Kimberly or George have other comments. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. And obviously I'm happy to, you know, hop on and maybe run, you know, like a 45 minute or 1 hour, you know, office hours or session or something like that kind of coming up, you know, lining up with whoever wants to join and, you know, their time frame. And I know we've been looking in that one-on-one group at, you know, folks from literally every time zone in the world, right? So it's, you know, there is a little bit of balancing there. My concern with someone like me jumping in, and I think this kind of holds generally though, is that like I have a limited perspective on items in the CCG because it's just the items that I'm dealing with from a supply chain or a company to company type interaction and stuff like that. So that's one of the concerns I always have is like trying to make sure that all the voices from all the different perspectives are heard because I have a very, you know, I have a very certain perspective based on how I'm interacting with these items that is differing and overlapping with someone like Manu and then likewise with someone like Ori, et cetera. And there's value in seeing those different perspectives. And so that's my thing is just trying to make sure that we get folks like Juan, et cetera, right? You know, talking about their perspective, even starting at the motivation side, but then, you know, jumping into something practical. So like a thought I had was like, well, let's walk through adding a credential to the traceability vocab, right? Because we have a list of stuff that we're adding in. That's an actual thing that we could sit down and do a live session on with some developers and other folks, you know, just asking questions and let's add something very simple to that and bring it all the way through the process so that a VC spits out on the other end. But that's obviously going to be my perspective from a traceability side. So that's all I just wanted to say.
Great comment, Mike. And I appreciate you offering it and I appreciate your conscientiousness around your biases in this perspective. I don't think biases are wrong, and I think acknowledging them is the right way to do it. Kim, you're on the queue.
Yes, and Mike, I think that's I understand your concern, and I think partially the reason that we may be lacking some documentation is that many of us are hesitant because we don't know how representative our experience with the standards is. So maybe, you know, but at the same time, I would say like what you know is at least a great, much better starting point than, you know, well, definitely than what we have, but could be used to inform some really useful documentation. So similarly, you know, a lot of my experience with the credential schema design comes from the education space, but, you know, we've done, some very deep and broad work, you know, which may not apply to other sectors, but I do like your idea of sort of office hours types of things. And I feel like the 101 group could help sort of curate, but then also, you know, subsequent reviews by other members of the CCG can help, you know, make sure that what we're saying is representative. I do like the idea that such sessions would allow us to be very specific because that is a problem with working with verifiable credentials right now. It's really hard to get to the point of seeing like, oh, that's what they mean. Here's an example of it. So yeah, I think I like your approach. And I think combined with curation, you know, we can come up with something really good.
Thanks, Kim. It sounds like, Mike, since you offered, maybe we could start with your suggestion. And we have a one-on-one call later this afternoon. Maybe we can figure out a time to schedule this out of band with our, you know, we won't take up a CCG call, and figure out when we can do that with all the caveats that you mentioned. Does that sound like a path forward? Okay, great. Perfect. So if you're able to be here this afternoon, we can take this up. Kimberly, George, I want to sync back with you on your thoughts on this. If you have any comments.
Not a lot to say myself, just like this is great. And it's really nice that, you know, not like we've got multiple people offering their time. To try and, cause, someone says in the chat, no, Kim said, that it is difficult to understand for new people. There's a lot to learn. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, I think as I was listening, I was thinking, you know, this collaborative community that has been built here and the culture around it is really encouraging and exciting, and I'm looking forward to learning more.
Great. Thanks, you guys. We've got 4 minutes left. Our next item on the agenda is this linked data signature work. Yvonne, Manu, do we want to try to do it in like a few minutes, or should we just punt to a future call?
We should probably punt to a future call. I don't think we're going to be able to cover it.
I didn't know if this was going to be something we were going to be able to like bang out real quick, but it's
probably not.
We got a little bit bogged down in the discussion earlier today. Yvonne, you're on the queue. Please, over to you. I don't know if you're muted, but, or if I'm having audio issues, but I'm unable to hear Yvonne.
I am sorry. There's a mute button that I missed.
No worries.
So the problem is that the plan is to go to the CG for a formal vote in a few weeks. So that has been announced to the CCG 2 weeks ago. We are losing one more week for the discussion. That does not help, to be very frank. You know, we can try to repeat that. I don't know whether next Tuesday I have time. I will have to check. But we are losing time.
I'm glad you brought that up. Would you prefer for us to try to meet about this out of band prior to next Tuesday? I don't know if we can do that, or I don't know if, Kim, you think we can equally split next week?
For me, that's a very... Coincidentally, that's a very difficult time because we have a yearly big conference which is turned virtual next week. So I have absolutely no idea how my time will be next week. And I can't help that. I can't say when I have time for that.
So what if I'm just throwing this out here? What if we did this Friday, same time, so 12 p.m. Eastern, for those that want to provide input for the linked data?
It's already part of this conference. I'm in the tutorial.
Oh.
And, you know, this is the web conference, which is one of the big events here that is now turned virtual. And I am also part of the organization, so this is not something that I can just drop. So, you know, I am happy to stay on for 10 more minutes if we want now. I know it will be beyond the deadline, but for me, that's actually the best way of doing this.
I'm okay with that proposal. I'm able to continue moderating. If the folks who want to discuss this are willing to stay for another 10 or 15 minutes, everyone else is welcome to leave. Manu?
Yeah, with that, yeah, I can. So, Yvonne, do you want me to just do a quick intro, or would you rather?
Yeah, just give intro and mainly the context.
Sure.
And then I take over.
All righty, will do. Let's see. Let me go ahead and share.
One second, Manu. Pete, are you able to continue scribing? If not, I will just take over. Yes, okay, great, thank you.
I will put in the pointers to IRC.
Okay, great. Thanks, Yvonne. So just real quick, this is about the linked data signatures work. As many of you know, we've been working on this as in the CCG for a while now, many years. Thanks to Yvonne and Pierre-Antoine, we have a charter. So just for those of you that don't know about the work, in a verifiable credential, you know, it consists of multiple parts. There's this last green box here, the proofs, right? This is the green box we're talking about. So we're talking about creating an official W3C working group to standardize this kind of green box part of the verifiable credential. We didn't do this, you know, a couple of years ago. It's really important that we do it now. So this is what we're talking about. And to be more specific, for those of you that know what a verifiable credential looks like, you know, it looks like this. We're talking about this stuff highlighted in green down here. So it's this part of the verifiable credential that we are trying to standardize. Now, I'm being a bit loose with language. This work doesn't just apply to verifiable credentials. It applies to a much broader part of data science. And that's really what this charter is about. It's a, and I'm going to hand it over here in a second to you, Yvonne, and up here, Antoine. The Linked Data Signatures charter is about standardizing three things. One of them is called RDF dataset canonicalization. This is the way that we shape data before we digitally sign it. There's the digitally signing part of the process, and then there's some vocabulary terms that we need to do. So it's a very highly constrained, focused charter about just getting this first layer done. And then there are some other kind of phases and layers that come afterwards. So Yvonne, we have Yvonne to thank for the charter. So Yvonne, why don't you go through kind of the charter and where we are in the process and how people can provide input at this point.
Okay, so just to complete what you said, the plan is to have an extremely focused charter. It was a discussion that we had. We tried to concentrate on one specific thing and one specific thing only. Maybe later when this charter and this working group, if it's accepted, has run its course, then we will have other things later, but we wanted to have something very focused. So that's one thing that will transpire if you go and read the charter. That's one important point. The other important point that I can't emphasize enough, and this is important for this community to understand, the work which is here is not only for the credential work. It so happens that the whole issue of being able to canonicalize and sign linked data is something that has been a technical problem in the semantic web community for the past 15 years. So we are not talking about a small thing in this respect. And therefore, the way the charter is organized and the way we would like to organize it is that this is for the linked data community at large, including, of course, everything which is needed for the verifiable credentials, but there are a number of other use cases that are relevant here. So just to give you one single example, if you create a medical ontology, you want to be sure that the ontology itself, which is a linked data graph, is something that has been signed, and therefore you can trust its origin, etc. This is typically an example which is there. Now, what it means, without trying to be offensive, and I'm sorry if it sounds like that, but whether this work is necessary or the right one for verifiable credentials or not, because I have seen some discussion about that, is not really relevant for this charter. We start by the premise that this work is necessary, and that's what we try to achieve. Now, process-wise, what happens is that this charter is in the preliminary phase. It's a draft. It has been announced to the AC, the Advisory Committee of W3C. It has been announced to the Semantic Web Community via its own community group and mailing list, and to this community. And we are gathering issues, questions, comments, to work on a final charter. At some point in time, what I hope is, let's say early May, this will go to a formal vote to the advisory committee at W3C, which will essentially vote a yay or nay. And hopefully if they vote a yay, then we can start the working group. The voting procedure and the discussions leading to it, etc. And after it, take several weeks, if not months. So we are sort of in the middle of more in the beginning of the process. What we would need from this community, as well as from any other community, is first of all comments on the charter itself. But if you are a member of W3C, either if you are an AC member or you are related to an AC member, putting an issue into the issue list, and I've put the issue reference on IRC, just saying that you are really interested and you want this work to happen, that's something which is valuable. So please, any kind of statement like that is important because it shows interest, and that's important. The W3C AC always wants to charter work for which it's convinced that there is interest out there. So please add your statement there, even if you have small use cases, which is not yet reflected in the charter or the attached document. That's all right. But you know, that's very important. But of course, if you have comments and you find bugs or you have any kind of additional things to do, to ask for, then don't hesitate to do that. Oh yes, there's one more thing. We haven't identified yet the potential co-chairs of the working group. At W3C, the co-chairs are nominated by the W3C team. Reflecting the community richness, we would like to have one co-chair coming from this community and one co-chair coming from the larger semantic web community. Pierre-Antoine and I have already tried to identify people in that community because we are both historically more in the semantic website, and we have some names, but we haven't contacted them yet. But we are still looking for expert names from the credential community. And I think that's all I have. Manu, anything else to add?
Nope, that's great. Thanks, Yvonne.
Yvonne, I just have a question. You said that if you are a member of the W3C to make comments, is it useful?
I'm sorry, I made a mistake, Heather. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's my mistake. Anybody can make comments.
Great. Okay. Excellent. And maybe it would be great to do a follow-up of the message or that you sent to the list specifying that asked to make comments and about the proposal.
That's fine. I can do it or Manu can do it and he and I will fight over it.
Sounds great. Marcus, you're on the queue. Over to you.
I just wanted to ask Yvonne, could you repeat where it would be best to signal support for this to W3C? Would it be on the issues of the charter repository, or would it be on the AC mailing list, or what would be best?
In your case, because you are also a member, then in fact both. So non-members obviously cannot mail on the AC mailing list, but an issue is great. But to have as much noise around it as possible is always good. And because you are the AC rep, you can do it easily.
Thank you. Great. Any other comments or questions for Yvonne or Manu about this charter? Well, Okay, thank you. Thank you, Yvonne, also for speaking up and asking for us to address these this time. We just went 10 minutes over, and I think we made some forward progress, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate everyone who stayed 10 minutes late on this. That concludes today's meeting. Thank you for all the conversation, especially the diverse viewpoints about the traceability API work item, and we will look at that in more detail next week. Thank you, Ori. Thank you, Manu. Thank you, everyone else. And also thanks to Pete for scribing. Great job. And with that, I will conclude the meeting and turn the recording off.